Let's try to take up Daryl's points and arguments in the order he went in. First of all, he mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13 that the word, it says, when that which is perfect has come, that the word when is not the same as has or have. In other words, he didn't say they had come. That's right. In our last debate, we pointed out from a passage like Matthew 24, verse 15, it says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso will read it, let him understand. We have the word when there. Yet Daryl agreed in the last debate that was referring to the destruction of Jerusalem, which occurred about 70 AD. We may not know the exact year. You see, Jesus was speaking this, we'll guess, 33 AD. He was talking about something in future to him. And he says, but when you see this abomination of desolation, talking about Titus and his armies coming. But we know now that's not future to us, even though he said the word when. He didn't say that the abomination of desolation had come. No, he was saying when it would come in the future to him. But it has already come. Now, that was about 70 AD. So it's the same as 1 Corinthians 13, when that which is perfect has come. Yes, when? What's future to Paul when he was writing that? But now we can look back and see that the perfect has come. We might guess 100 AD, 125 AD, we're not sure. And so it has come to pass, just like the destruction of Jerusalem. Then Daryl said, the Bible doesn't tell us when the wind was. Well, yeah, it does. It says when that which is perfect has come. Now, do we need to study to find out what that which is perfect is? Yes, and that's what I did in my last study, and Daryl did not really respond to the study I did on what proving what the perfect was. But it does tell us the when. It didn't leave it in the dark. Leave us in the dark. It said, when that which is perfect has come. And then Daryl mentioned about some organization that Pat, he said, belongs to that wrote another Bible, because we didn't like this one. They're honestly, I think they're confusing us with other folks. There are a number of groups that have Church of Christ somewhere in their name, like the Church of Christ of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. We're no kin to them. The United Church of Christ, we're no kin to them. As far as I know, I have no idea what you're talking about. All the churches of Christ, like the ones I belong to, all these congregations are completely autonomous. There is no headquarters or organization that can help write a Bible. I think you have it confused with somebody else. Now, I read, like if you were to put up number 2 that has where I was reading from 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 10. I was reading from the King James Version. That's the one I use all the time. And then, Daryl, there's the passage. That's the King James Version. Put up number 12 now, Greg. Daryl mentioned a few things about, Pat, do you know the day or the hour? And some other things, like how many hairs on your head. I said, no to all of those. I knew none of those answers. That none of that's my position, not dependent upon knowing any of those answers. At the end of Daryl's speech, Daryl said that the Bible gives us the perfect knowledge in God's plan of salvation for us. That's right. That's what that which is perfect is. The perfect knowledge in God's plan of salvation for us. That which is perfect. God's perfect plan for us. That's what it is. So, the gifts would cease when we got the perfect knowledge in God's plan for salvation for us. And that's what we have. That's exactly what I'm talking about. This is not talking about, as Daryl would have led you to believe, oh, when you get to heaven, the second coming of Christ, all these things that you don't know, Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to God. Like, when is Jesus coming back, the day and the hour? We don't know that. Yes, we'll find out hopefully a lot of those things, and we don't know them now, but that's not what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. It's talking about what Daryl said, the perfect knowledge in God's plan of salvation for us. Now, so we have on my chart, opponent agrees the whole must be of the same nature as the part, but he's saying the part pertains to God's revelation, and therefore the perfect is God's complete revelation, but he says we don't have a complete revelation because there's going to be some things that we find out at the second coming in heaven we don't know now. Like he mentioned 1 John 3:2. I mentioned Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things that belong to God. I would ask Daryl, do you believe the apostles were guided into all the truth? John 16:13, or not. Now, either they were guided into all the truth, or they weren't. Now, they were guided into all the truth. Does that mean that they were guided into the fact, into when Jesus would come back? No. Because that's not part of the truth they were guided into. But they were guided into all the truth. I like the way you put it. Perfect knowledge in God's plan of salvation for us. They were guided into all the truth in that respect. And that's the contrast in 1 Corinthians 13. The things that prophecy Miraculous knowledge? Tongues? What were those for? Were they to guide those people at that time in part? When somebody spoke in tongues, when somebody prophesied, did they ever speak in tongues and tell them that day and hour Jesus was coming back? Any of those secret things? They didn't, did they?
Are you asking me?
No, I'm not asking you. And the things that Daryl knows now, when he speaks in tongues and when he prophesies, does he ever give any of those secret things like how many hairs on my head? Or does he ever give any of those things like the day or the hour that Jesus is coming back? No, he doesn't. He knows that's not what prophecy and tongues was for the secret things that belong to God. No, the prophecy and the tongues were to help those people know the perfect knowledge and God's plan of salvation, but they only got it in part instead in whole. And when the whole came, and Daryl admits this is it, the perfect knowledge and God's plan of salvation for us, then they had no need for the part. Now, do you understand my point? When they were speaking in tongues or prophesying, got miraculous knowledge, they weren't being guided and told things like the second coming of Christ, the secret things. They were being told things that involved their salvation and God's plan for them. New Testament law. So he admits now that the perfect has to be the same nature as the part. But now he said, oh, but we don't have everything. Well, you got to mix up on what everything is. The part doesn't have to do with the secret things like the second coming of Christ. Time, Daryl, has to do with the New Testament law. God's plan for us and our work and our worship and our salvation. And that's what the whole is. The complete law. God's plan for us and our work, our worship, our salvation, and so forth. This is God's revelation. The partial revelation had to do with all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. We don't need to know the time of the second coming of Christ to do that. Since the part has to do with that, then the whole will have to do with that too. The part had nothing to do with 1 John, the things we'll find out according to 1 John 3, 2, Deuteronomy 29, 29, but it pertained to things unto life and godliness. And remember, the whole must be of the same nature as the part. Now, if the complete revelation includes these secret things, as Daryl contended, then, as I've already said, the partial revelation must also. They're of the same nature, aren't they? So I need Daryl to fill us in on some of these secret things that are not part of the Bible that's been revealed to him via the miraculous. As I said, like the time of the second coming of Christ. How many hairs are in his head? He ought to be able to tell us a few of those things. Not all of them, because he's only getting revelation parts, but he ought to be able to tell us a few of them. In what sense will the revelation be complete, Daryl, at the second coming of Christ in heaven? The revelation you're talking about, like the secret things and different things like that, the second coming of Christ, that kind of revelation, in what sense will it be complete at the second coming of Christ? You won't get to know all that then. Now, I'm not asking you. You won't get to, you're just answering your speech. You won't get to know all that then. You'll be learning all about that through years and millenniums in heaven. You'll be there 1,000 years, as Amazing Grace says, and you still can ask a question and find out the answer. You'll never get that completely, that kind of knowledge. The kind of knowledge that the perfect is talking about 1 Corinthians 13 is the New Testament law, and we have that in completion. Then Dale first said that you can't know what that which is perfect is. Put up number 3. You can't know what it is. How did Daryl know that in Luke 11:36 the part was part of the body? How did you know? If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark. How did the audience know that that was part of the body? You mean you can't know? Because it doesn't say part. Part what? You mean you can't know because it's not specified? No, you can know because you know part is being contrasted with whole, and the whole is the whole body, so you know it part of the body. You can know. Can't you? So put up number 5. Excuse me, I'm at number 6. I'm going to quit my 2 part-time jobs when I get a what? Glass of water or a full-time job? Can you know? You know, don't you? You know! Power being out, we read by candlelight till the electric lights came on. When they moved to Dallas, they rented an apartment until they could buy a box of fried chicken or a house. Instead of hamburgers, I'd rather go get a box of fried chicken. You know, don't you? How do you know? Because the part is being distinguished with the whole. And you find out what the part is, and you know what the whole is. It's going to be of the same nature. If I said I had ate a piece of an apple pie today for lunch, do you know what kind of pie I took it from? Do you think it was a whole strawberry pie or a whole apple pie? You know, don't you? So now, verse 9, the thing we have in part, knowledge, prophecy, these are God's means by which God gave His revelation of the New Testament law. God's revelation in parts will be done away when what? The second coming of Christ has come, or God's revelation in whole has come. You know, don't you? Number 5 is just as easy as the other 4. So first he said, well, you can't know what that which is perfect is. Then he said, oh, but it's the second coming. We've already proven that it's not. We have proven that it can't be the second coming. We put up number 7. We put up the chart that proved that, the argument from the Bible. Daryl did not respond to it. Remember, we pointed out the contrast in verse 13 is, in verses 8 through 10, these things are going to stop. But in verse 13, faith, hope, charity, these are going to abide. These are going to stop. These are going to keep going. In other words, at the perfect, these three things will stop. Whatever that which is perfect is, they're going to stop, but faith and hope will continue on. But we pointed out in 2 Corinthians 5, Hebrews 11, and Romans 8, that the need for faith and hope will stop at the second coming of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, we walk now by faith, not by sight, because we're absent from the Lord, but when we get present with the Lord, Paul's point is, we'll walk by sight. We don't have to have faith anymore. We'll be able to see Him. We'll be able to touch Him. We'll be able to talk to Him and ask Him some of these questions that we want to know. In the same way with hope from Romans 8. Just like the little child that's hoping for the present on December 25th, the bicycle. Once he gets the bicycle, he doesn't have to hope for it anymore. Once you have heaven, you don't have to hope for it anymore. That's the point Paul is making in Romans 8:24. So Romans 8, 2 Corinthians 5, and Hebrews 11 teaches that faith and hope will stop at the second coming. But we've already seen from 1 Corinthians 13, they all will continue on through that which is perfect. If they go on past that which is perfect, but they stop at the second coming, then that which is perfect can't be the second coming of Christ. It's impossible. That should be easy to understand. That's not hard to understand. He said we need a clear passage that tells us. Put up number 8. That tells us, since God has told us to do it, we need a clear miraculous gift. He's right. We need a clear passage telling us to stop. It says tongues shall cease. How clear do you want it to be? That's pretty clear, isn't it? And by the way, I never said that if God routinely does something, that means it's not a miracle. As I explained today in the debate before, I was illustrating something like this. I used to work the calculus problem, and so could Greg, but neither one of us can anymore. But calculus, when we were younger and smarter in college, we could work calculus. And God could work a calculus problem. He doesn't have to perform a miracle to work a calculus problem. That's just because He's so smart He does it. But when He parts the Red Sea, that's a miracle. Okay? He doesn't have to have a miracle to do it, work a calculus problem. He can do that without a miracle. He's that smart. But when He parts the Red Sea, that's a miracle. So I believe that God did miracles, and I believe that back then God did miracles through people, through the laying on of hands and so forth. Okay? But today, God does not work miracles through men. He does it. Prophecy and tongues, miraculous knowledge, the Bible says they would stop. I'm just believing what the Bible has to say. Why don't you believe it? Why would you want to work so hard, since this is the road back to heaven? Why not just believe what 1 Corinthians 13 and Zechariah 13 say? Wouldn't that just be the easier thing to do? After all, we claim we believe in the Bible. It says they're going to stop. It says when they're going to stop. Zechariah says when they're going to stop. We proved this during the time period of the first coming of Christ. Wouldn't it just be easy, since you say you're religious, to say, that's what God said, I'm going to believe it? Why would you want to try to get around it? I have yet to figure out why people like Daryl want to try to work so hard to get around what the Bible is saying. Why not just go ahead and accept what it says? That's the easiest thing to do. That's very easy. He asked for a clear passage. How could you make it any more clear than this? Remember, we looked at this phrase that day. We saw that it was talking about a time period, right? And we saw from Zechariah 13, verse 2, that during that time period, the prophets would pass out of the land. True prophets. Prophecy would cease. We pointed that out in our last speech, but Daryl did not respond to it. Then we tried to find out, that time period, what time period is that prophecy would cease? Is that the time period of the first coming of Christ, like I believe, or is it the time period of the second coming of Christ, like Daryl believes? Remember chapter 13, verse 1, it says, in that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Does anybody here, and you could raise your hand, believe that's talking about the second coming of Christ? Anybody here believe that when Jesus comes the second time, He's going to die again and shed His blood for our sins again? Anybody? I don't see anybody. I believe everybody here believes chapter 13, verse 1 is talking about the death of Christ, first coming of Christ, not second coming.
5 minutes.
Chapter 11, 12 and 13. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the pyre. Anybody here not know what that's talking about? Well, read Matthew 27, 9 and 7, and you'll see that was fulfilled. The Bible says it was fulfilled when Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. When he had some remorse, he brought the money back. They didn't know what to do with it because it was blood money, so they bought a potter's field so they could bury people who they didn't know who they belonged to, didn't have a name for. That's what Zechariah chapter 11, 12 through 13 is prophesying.
Is that during the time period of the first coming of Christ or the second? Which one would that be, Daryl? Tell us in your next speech. Did Judas betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver at the first coming of Christ or the second coming? You tell us that in your next speech, okay? And then chapter 12, verse 10 says, His only Son whom they have pierced. Did you know that John 19:37 quotes that? When Jesus was on the cross and they pierced Him, He was already dead. It says, again, another scripture said, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. It's quoting Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Daryl, when you get up there and you speak, tell us when this was fulfilled. Time period of the first coming of Christ, time period of the second coming. And then chapter 13, verse 7 says, Smite the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered. I believe it's the day before He dies, Jesus says, talking about His impending death, He says, For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered abroad. He's the shepherd. He says, I'm fulfilling this verse. They're going to kill me. I'm the shepherd. My sheep, my disciples will be scattered. Isn't Peter the perfect example of that? Denying the Lord three times? Now look at all this evidence. How can you make it any more clear than that? He said, there's got to be something clear. Daryl, what's unclear about that? If it's not clear, why don't you answer it? Now, I've made this argument. This is the fourth time, because I made it three times in our debate and reading. You have not responded to it yet. This is as clear as a bell. Why don't you answer it? You asked for these passages. He said, God told us to do the miraculous gifts. We need something that tells us to stop. And I give you 1 Corinthians 13 and Zechariah 13. He just ignores it. Look at this. It says that prophecy would cease. The prophets would pass out of the land in that day. That time period. When is that day? First, time period of the first coming of Christ, like I believe. Time period of the second coming of Christ, like he believes. What is it? Why don't you answer that in the next speech? That would help us some, Daryl. Because if you'll answer it, then I can respond to your response. You see what I'm saying? But until you answer it, I just have to keep getting up here and repeating myself. And then he mentioned face to face. Put up number 25. I'm going to have to go the old-fashioned way because I think this thing went into that mode that you were talking about, Greg. Let's talk about this idea of face-to-face, which is also mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. In this passage, there are three analogies, Daryl, three analogies in 1 Corinthians 13. If you all want to turn back to 1 Corinthians 13 and look at verses 11 and verse 12, it would be a good time to do that right now. There are three analogies being made. Here's the analogies. Prophecy, tongues, miraculous knowledge, that is revelation part, is like speaking, understanding as a child, thinking as a child. The complete revelation, that which is perfect, is like becoming a man, putting away childish things. In other words, having the whole New Testament is like a man who doesn't need toys, whereas having the tongues and the prophecy was like a little child who plays with toys. That's the analogy that Paul's made. He's saying having the whole New Testament, the complete revelation, is better. The same thing, prophecy and tongues and so forth is like seeing someone through a dark glass. The complete revelation is like seeing someone face to face. He's not saying that you're going to literally see somebody face to face there. He's saying having the complete revelation is like seeing someone face to face. If this were talking about literally seeing Jesus face to face then you know what that would mean now? That would mean that we're literally looking at Jesus through a dark glass right now. Through a dark glass where we can't see Him too clearly because the glass is kind of cloudy. It's not talking about literally we're going to look at Jesus face to face then. If it meant that, then that means we're looking at Him literally through a dark glass right now. That's not true. What He's saying is that when you had the tongues, the prophecy and so forth, that was like looking at somebody through a dark glass. You could kind of see it, but not everything so clearly. But when you get the complete Bible, the complete New Testament, you'll be able to see the whole New Testament all clearly. Just like not only is the dirty glass thrown, there's not even any glass there. It's face to face. Prophecy, tongues, miraculous knowledge is like knowing in part, but the complete revelation is like knowing even as I also am known. Complete knowledge. It's so much better to have the complete New Testament law than to have it in parts, the New Testament law in parts. Prophecy, miraculous knowledge of tongues. That's the point Paul is making. Now, I've proven my proposition with 1 Corinthians 13 and Zechariah 13. Let's hear the answer to it.